Thank you for listening to the official podcast of Everyday Church. We are a body of believers in Oklahoma City with a mission to live out our faith on a daily basis. Let's listen in as we hear a powerful message from God's Word.
Well, good morning. How are we doing this morning? We doing all right? Doing good. Jolyn is doing great. Y'all need to be more like Jolyn. Man, I looked at that light for too long, and now it's like I can't see my iPad. I can do this. Don't stare at bright lights. Fun fact. Well, I hope you're doing well this morning. It's good to be here with you all this morning. Man, I love gathering with my faith family. It's one of my favorite times of the week for sure. I feel like it's been a minute since I've been up here because it has been a minute since I've been up here. We've kind of been busy having a baby. I didn't have the baby. Bailey had the baby. I just kind of stand there and pretend I know what I'm doing. But we love being Parker's mom and dad. She's great. She's super cute. And I am biased, and I will admit that. But she's super cute. Hopefully she doesn't get fussy through the message. But, you know, it's fine. The Lord has taught us so much in just this month that we've had her. Also, she's a month old, so, like, that's crazy. And he's just been teaching us so much about grace, so much about patience. And man, it's just, it's been wild. And the nights are really short and the days are really long, or the days are really long and the nights are really short and there's not much sleep. And when she cries, you just want to cry with her because you're like, I don't know what you need. And it's just, man, I've been learning so much. And when I think about the patience and grace that I give Parker, I think, man, that's just like God. God gives us so much grace, gives us so much patience, and when we just cry, he doesn't just like kick us. He loves us, like, and I don't kick my daughter. Don't hear me say that. I do not kick my daughter. I didn't hear that, and then I heard it. I love my daughter very much. I just sit there and cry with her. Like, that's what I do. Man, I love you, Parker. But that's God, right? God is the perfect Father. He gives us so much grace and patience, and he is so kind to us. And just as we do our best to provide for Parker, God provides for us. He is the ultimate provider. And what's really cool is that Parker doesn't have to buy my love. I love her. She's mine. We don't have to buy God's love. He loves us. We belong to him. And I think that's one of the coolest things that I've learned about parenthood. That's just your pre-sermon that you didn't ask for. But I am really excited to share with you what the Lord has placed on my heart for this week and for today. If you've been with us recently, we've been going through the book of Ephesians. Good. I was hoping none of you guys would be like, no, Jeremiah. Like, no. Wrong. It's Ephesians, but close. And we've been going chapter by chapter, seeing what Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. And what's really cool is that we can take the book of Ephesians, and what was written to them back then is useful for us today. And that's really cool because it shows us God's great wisdom and God's goodness and his sovereignty, because like he was writing, using Paul to write this to a church then, but it's useful for us now. And I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. What God was doing then and using for us now, keep that in the back of your mind. Why, you might ask? Because here's the deal. When we understand God's sovereignty and his goodness, like knowing then what we would know now, here's what that means. God's never out of date, and God is never irrelevant. So that means the words that he speaks through his scripture is never out of date or irrelevant. Scripture will never be out of date or irrelevant. He knows what we need. He knows what's best for us, and he prepares us for the battle that we have ahead. As I've mentioned before, if you know a little bit about my story, you know I've got plenty of stories that didn't quite turn out well. And a lot of those have to do with me riding my bike. And guess what? I got another one. And if you missed a story about me jumping into a pool, hit me up later. Don't ask my parents. Just come talk to me. They don't really know the story. Anyway, but this one has less to do with my abilities or lack thereof, and more about me being unprepared for what was ahead of me. So my mom had a rule. If I was going to jump my bike, or in her words, if I was going to be dumb, I had to wear a helmet. I had to wear a helmet, and I had a four-wheeler too, and it was like, if you were on your bike, if you were on your four-wheeler, you had to wear a helmet because she knew me. And so one day I had this really, like, really incredible thought. Instead of wearing my helmet, how about I don't? And I was like, I'm not going to do anything crazy today. I'm just going to ride my bike around. It'll be chill. And so as I rode around on my bike, you know what I thought? Oh, I saw this really cool trick on YouTube that I wanted to try. And so what did I do? I go back and get my helmet, right? No. I went straight to the ramp and said, bet. And that's how all genius ideas start. Bet. The word bet is how all good things start. So you can probably guess how the story is going to go, right? Bad idea, new trick, no helmet, no preparation. And to top it all off, it had been raining that day. And so I had my ramp set up. We had this little like basketball / tennis court at my house. And I had it set up. It was cement. And I had my ramp set up on there. And it had been raining that day, which meant the surface was wet. And I thought, wow, great conditions for me to try this trick I've never done before without my helmet. Anyway, I didn't land the trick. I had to go to the hospital. My wonderful sister drove me to the hospital. I had like rocks in my arm. I had a stick that I had to get my elbow sewn up. But my head was fine, so take that, Mom. So, you know, that was right, right? So it didn't go well. I'm sorry, Mom. My head was fine, though. So, like, you know, it was great. So I learned two things when that happened. Number one, I was incredibly confident for someone who couldn't even pop a wheelie. Incredibly confident for someone who couldn't even do the basics. And then two, I should have worn my helmet because honestly, there might be some brain damage, who knows. But I should have also had like other pads on too, like elbow pads, shoulder pads, knee pads. Like I should have had all of that stuff. In other words, I should have had the proper armor on. Wearing a helmet would have been good, but I needed the rest. Obviously, I have a scar on my elbow where they had to sew it up. Also, if you haven't had gravel removed from your arm, it's not a fun experience. 0 out of 10, don't recommend. And when it comes to faith, when it comes to faith, we need the proper gear. We need the proper armor. Well, okay, and, well, Paul tells us about it. So go ahead and open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be closing out our study on Ephesians today. So Ephesians chapter 6 will be in verses 10 through 20. And here's what I hope you see. Here's what I hope you see today. Being a follower of Jesus is so much more than just saying a prayer and then getting your free ticket out of hell. When you give your life to Christ, you give your entire life to Christ. Not just part of it, not just your Sundays. But you give your entire life to Christ. But guess what? When you give your life to Jesus, you also get enemies. You also gain enemies when you give your life to Jesus. So we need to be prepared. How are we prepared? Let's look. Ephesians 10, oops, not 10, 6, started in verse 10. There's no Ephesians 10. Don't go to Ephesians 10. You won't find it. It's like 2 Hebrews. It's not there. Ephesians 6, started in verse 10, says, finally, I'll be in the ESV version, by the way. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all of the saints, and also for me, this is Paul saying, also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So remember earlier when I talked about God being the provider. I was talking about how we provide for Parker and God is the ultimate provider. He provides for us. Y'all really meant that. Like God is the provider. He is the ultimate provider. He gives us what we need. Keyword there, need. Here in the United States, we get need and want. We think like want and need is like the same thing. It's not. A lot of times we can get frustrated. God just didn't give me what I want. Well, did you actually need a new 70-inch TV, or is that like a want? Some people would argue that, I mean, depending on if you've got a good football team or a bad football team, need, want. I'm an OSU fan, so it's more of a want, not so much a need. When we look at this passage, we can see that God provides us with the proper gear to enter the battle. What's really cool is that when we give our life to Jesus, he doesn't just leave us on our own and say, all right, figure it out, good luck. He gives us what we need. But what we're also going to see is that this is not just our battle, but it's deeper than that. God gives us what we need to enter the battle, and when we're properly prepared for the battle, it's better for our brothers and sisters too. And it's better for the advancement of the gospel. So the question is, how do we do this? How do we fight well? Well, let's look and see. Let's walk. We're going to walk through this passage, and we'll see. To fight well, you need three things. To fight well, you need three things. The first one, you need to match up. Match up. And here's what I mean by that. Our basketball coach in high school would always be like, hey, match up. And what he meant by that is you needed to understand your opponent. Right? So if we were going to play basketball, he'd say, match up, know who you got. So for me, I would look at, and I would know the team that we were playing, right? Because I watched film, I studied. I was like, okay, so I'm not going to go guard 6'6", 200 whatever pounds. Like, that would be the dumbest thing in the world if I went. And I was like, got him. Sup, bro? Got you. Dunking on me the entire game. So I look and I match up with somebody who's my size, who, if I was a guard, I might match up with another guard. Right? Match up. Understand your opponent. Verse 10 through 12 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against who? The rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of the present darkness, against spiritual forces in the heavenly places. We need to know, you need to know, I need to know who we're up against. Who we're up against. So think about football with me for a second. If OU showed up on Saturday, what's the name of the stadium in Norman? Something, it's not Boone Pickens, so it doesn't matter. So if OU showed up on Saturday and they had no idea who they were playing, just no preparation throughout the week, but we'll just wing it, we'll show up, right? Do you think they would have a harder time or an easier time winning the game? Harder time. Right? They would have a harder time. Good football teams don't just practice their own plays during the week and then show up and just hope they got it right. No, good football teams will study their opponent. They will know their opponent's strengths and weaknesses. They will know this is the plays they run. This is their best guy. Their quarterback loves to run to the left, or their quarterback loves to run to the right. Their running back is just going to run you over, so try your best to tackle him. Like, they know who their opponent is. And in the same way, y'all, we need to know who our opponent is. And Scripture just tells us right here, it's not against flesh and blood. It's against darkness. It's against Satan and his army. So we need to be ready. Why? Because Satan is smart. He's cunning. He's crafty. He thrives off of lies and deceit. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy, Scripture tells us. Get this, he wants you to question, he wants you to doubt, he wants you to stumble, he wants you to be anxious, he wants you to give in to temptation, and he wants you to just take a step in the wrong direction. Remember a few weeks ago, John talked about, we can take one small step in the wrong direction, even if it's just 1%, and eventually you're going to look up and you have no idea where you are. That's what Satan wants. He's tricky, he's smart. But the good news is that the enemy isn't smarter than our Savior. He's not smarter than Jesus. Because for every lie that the enemy tells, there's a truth that overcomes. Every fear that the enemy brings about, there's a promise that the Savior fulfilled. Every temptation that he gives, God gives a way out. And don't miss this either. For every stumble, for every fall, there's an empty tomb that says grace wins. We need to understand our enemy, know who we're going up against. We need to know that. And thankfully, we don't have to go into this battle unprepared. So we need to match up. The second thing we need to do is suit up. Suit up. So when I was working through this message, I kept coming back to the Avengers. And this is a spoiler, so if you haven't seen the Avengers, not sorry, that was like a really long time ago. So think about when Hawkeye is taken over by Loki, and then later on Black Widow, she like beats his head against the pole, and then he like comes back to, and then they're about to go to New York to fight the big fight, right? They're about to go to New York, and so they're getting ready, and then Cap comes in, and he's like, we need somebody to fly a plane. Can anybody fly a plane? And Hawkeye's like, I can fly the plane. And then he gives like Black Widow this look, and she just like gives him this really cool like yeah, you can trust him nod. And then Cap's like, okay, you got a suit. And then Hawkeye gives him the nod, and then he's like, all right, suit up. That's what I think of. I know that was a really long, dumb explanation, but it's fine. If you haven't seen Avengers, maybe get out from the rock that you live under. This is what I think of. We need to suit up. We need to put on our armor. We need to get ready because, y'all, it's like we about to go to New York and fight all these aliens, except it's like not literally. So 13 through 18 says this, therefore, take up the whole armor of yourself. No, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as for shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of what? Peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Word of God sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So think back to that example I had about OU. So what if they know, all right, it's OU Texas weekend. We're going to drive down to the Cotton Bowl and play Texas. But they decided, hey, let's not take any of our helmets or any of our gear, no pads. We're just going to show up, shorts and t-shirt. How do you think that weekend would go? Here's how that weekend would go. Hook 'em. That's how that weekend would go. That's seriously how it would go. Like that, we would think that's the worst idea in the history of football. Most of your players would be injured, if not worse. They wouldn't even come close to winning the game. It would just be terrible, right? We would think that's the craziest thing ever. But look, when it comes to faith, we think we're perfectly fine walking around in our shorts and t-shirt, not armoring up. We don't read our Bibles. We don't ponder the word of God, like we talked about last week. We don't trust, we don't worship, we don't pray. We as a whole, as a big C church here in America, are so easily divided over things that don't even matter. And metaphorically speaking, our pants are falling down because we don't put on the belt of truth. Our hearts are so wicked because we don't rest, and they're exposed because we don't rest and have the breastplate of righteousness on. There's so much turmoil because we put on shoes and we run to chaos instead of walking in peace. We're so easily hit by arrows because we find our faith in everything but the Lord. We find it in money, fame, sex, relationships, approval, whatever that might be. And we're so easily confused and conflicted because we don't rest in our salvation or fight back with the sword that we've been given, that being the word of God. So how do we put on these things, though? How do we actually put on the armor of God? Well, the things that I just talked about. Read your Bible, pray the word. That's something, like, if you don't really know what to pray the word. Like, read the word of God in a prayerful spirit. The book of Psalms, great book to do that. Pray the word. Seek the Lord, worship in truth, and trust your King. We need to armor up because your life, and to some extent, right, he's telling us to pray for other people, to pray for all of the saints. So your life, and to some extent, your brothers and sisters' life, depend on it. Depend on it. So we need to match up, we need to suit up, and the last thing is we need to team up. Team up. Verse 19 and 20 says, also for me, this is Paul saying, pray also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I might declare boldly as I ought to speak. Again, this isn't just your fight or just my fight. It's our fight. We're all in this together, y'all. It's our team. It's your faith family, my faith family. Family, faith, family. But also notice what Paul's saying here. This is crazy. He's not saying, hey, pray that this would go away. Pray that this would be easy for me. What did he pray for? Boldness. He prayed for boldness. He's praying that he would be bold to proclaim the gospel. And y'all, he's already in prison for sharing the gospel. And he's like, hey, yeah, so this thing that got me into prison, will you pray for me that I can be bold to keep sharing what got me into prison? That's crazy. That's insane. It's like, keep praying for me so I can be bold to sharing the message that got me in these chains. When we match up, when we understand our opponent, we get our gear on, right? We don't just turn around and go sit back on the couch and do nothing. We match up, we suit up so we can go fight, right? Dak Prescott, the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, doesn't just prepare all week and train all week just so he can sit on the couch and say, go team, right? He wouldn't be on the team very long if that was the case, right? But what does he do? He trains, he studies, he prepares so he can go play the game with his team, so he can go fight the fight with his team. And this is what we should do. Each week, you and I need to be studying the Word of God, need to be understanding who our opponent is. We need to be armoring up. We need to be in the Word. We need to pray. We need to worship so that we can go out and fight the fight, not just so that we can fight the fight well, so we can fight well with our brothers and sisters, right? When I think about basketball, I think early in high school, we had this guy who was really good, and he would try to do it all by himself. And our coach would be like, dude, you're really good, but we're better together. You're really good. You might be really good, but we're better together. We fight better together. We can do more for the kingdom here in Oklahoma City when we do it together. Now, John can go share the gospel. I can go share the gospel. You know, we can go out and do things by ourselves, and you should be. You should be sharing the gospel at your work and your job. But yeah, when we team up together and we all are in this together, we make a bigger impact for the kingdom. We need to be teaming up with our brothers and sisters, praying for them to be bold. Now, it's good. I mean, we can pray for things to get easier. When we have brothers and sisters who are being persecuted for their faith, we can pray for them that they would get out of that, that God would save them. But we also need to be praying that they would be bold, because what if the person who's persecuting them, they're bold, they share the faith, and then that person's saved? You know? Know your enemy, prepare for the battle, and then go fight the good fight. Don't just go sit on the couch. We need to match up, know our enemy. We need to suit up and prepare for the battle. And we need to team up and fight the good fight with our brothers and sisters. But here's the deal. You were not made to fight this fight on your own. I was not made to fight this fight on my own. You and I, as much as we don't want to believe, we were made to be dependent, not independent. We were made to be dependent, not on somebody else, not on something else, not a relationship, not money, but on Jesus. Dependent on the Lord. He's the one who gives us what we need to fight the good fight. You don't just muster up that strength by yourself. You don't have that kind of strength. You're not that good. We don't have the strength to fight this fight on our own. And if you're trying to do this on your own, if you're just like every day, you're waking up and you're like, okay, I got to be a really good person, or I just got to try really hard. I just got to find whatever makes me happy. You're already losing. If that's your goal, is to just do it by yourself, you've already lost. You're not just losing, you've lost. If you're trying to do well at work, do well at school, be the best mom, be the best dad, be the best husband or wife, without the Lord, you're fighting a losing battle. You want to fight well? Surrender. You want to win the war? Give up. That sounds crazy, right? It's like, well, man, what are you talking about? Give up. Quitters never win. This might sound crazy, right? Maybe. But not so much when you know who you're surrendering to. When you know you're surrendering, you're giving up control to Jesus, to the one who has already won the war, to the one who defeated the powers of darkness and laid death in its grave. Listen, right here. The best way for us to fight the battle is to trust in Jesus, to be in our word, to pray, and to worship. Worship, guys, worship, worship, worship. I don't care if you have a good voice. Sing praises. One of the best ways to fight the lies of the enemy is to sing the truths of your king. Best way to fight the lie of the enemy is to sing the truth of the king. Remind yourself of his word. We talked about pondering last week. We don't just ponder so we can have all this head knowledge. We ponder, we think, we meditate so that when we're in the battle and we're like, dang, this is really hard. I don't know if I can do this. We remember that God is with us. We remember that he goes before us, that he's already won, that the tomb is empty. This is why Paul is so bold. When he's in prison, he's in chains, and he's like, pray for me that I can keep sharing the gospel. I don't care if it keeps me in these chains. He knows the war's already won. Now notice in this passage, not once did we ever talk about things being easy. Everything's being great, right? He knows that he might lose the battle. He might lose his life. And he will lose his life. But he'll never lose the war. Because Jesus has already won the war, right? Jesus has already won the war, and the same goes for us. We can be bold. We can fight the good fight with confidence, not because we're great. I'm not great. Y'all, listen, this week was terrible. I had a really, really hard week. I think I was talking with Bailey about it this morning. Like, it's interesting that I'm preaching a sermon over spiritual warfare, and this week I've had, like, some of the, like, worst spiritual warfare I've ever had. So just shameless plug, pray for your pastors. We're not perfect. We aren't like God's holy, chosen, perfect people as much as John would beg to differ, right? we have these moments where the enemy just, man, there's a target on our back and we feel like there's just everything. We were just fighting for air, just fighting, trying to swim as hard as we can. That's what this week felt like. It might be because Little Miss only sleeps like 1 hour, but the enemy is real. And it was hard for me to armor up this week. It was hard for me to rest in the Lord this week. But I can move forward with confidence, not because I'm great, not because I have this incredible strength and power. I don't have that kind of power, but because of Jesus. Because the war has already been won. You can't fight this fight without the Lord. If you're trying to live this life without Jesus, you're losing. As much as the world would like to say, like, ah, you do you. Like, you know, everybody do everybody. You have your truth, I have my truth. That's not true. This is truth. God's word is truth. If you have never given your life to Jesus, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, you're losing. And guess what? If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus and the day comes where your life is taken, you've lost. End of it. And I don't say that to scare you. I don't say that to try to trick you into giving your life to Jesus. If I can talk you into giving your life to Jesus, somebody else can talk you out of it. But I say that to know that heaven is a real place. We all like to think heaven is a real place. We have no problem saying that, but hell is a real place. It's real. An eternity separated from God. Paying for your sin for eternity. If you haven't put your faith and trust in Jesus, that's what's up. That's what's coming. But the great news is that God doesn't just leave us there. We have this incredible opportunity to say yes to Jesus, to surrender to him, to give our lives to Jesus. And then when we give our lives to Jesus, like I said, we might lose this earthly battle. Our bodies are going to die. But y'all, we won. And it's not anything that I did. It's all because of Jesus. You put your faith and trust in Jesus, you're a winner. Take that to the bank. Hashtag winning with Team Jesus, right? And if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus, for those of you who would say, yes, I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Jesus, if you're trying to do this everyday life without Jesus, you're losing. You might be on the winning team, but you're not fighting very well. And we want to fight well. We want to honor God with our lives. He's given us a new life. He's given us his righteousness. That breastplate of righteousness that you put on, that's not yours. That's the righteousness of Jesus. And so if you haven't given your life to Jesus, man, I want to encourage you to do that today. Give your life to Jesus today. There's no magical prayer that you have to say. It's not walking down an aisle. We don't have holy water behind the screen that we like flick at you. Like, that's not how that works. It's you just saying, you know, Jesus, I taught our e-students this week, taught them the ABCs. Admit that you're a sinner. God, I've messed up. I know that I've sinned. Scripture tells us that all have sinned, right? It's B, believe. So A, B, believe. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came, that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross, that 3 days later he rose from the grave, defeating sin, defeating death, making a way for us to have salvation. And then see, confess that Jesus is Lord. And to the best of your ability, say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I've fallen short, but I know that Jesus died for me, that he gave his life for me, that he defeated the grave when he rose. Y'all, we're about to celebrate Easter, and like, we're going to celebrate, right? That's what it's about. And then you confess, God, I know that you're Savior. I confess you as my King. I want to follow you to the best of my abilities. Help me to do that. It's that simple. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, man, do that today. And then let us know about it. Come talk to me. Come talk to John. We've got these cards in the back. You can fill them out. If you're online, go to everyday.church, click the Connect tab. And then, you know, it's pretty self-explanatory from there. And if you are a follower of Jesus, man, keep following Jesus. Keep pressing in. Keep armoring up. Because when we don't armor up, we have weeks like I had this last week. Not good. Not fun weeks. Would not recommend. And then we just do have hard weeks because we live in a fallen and broken world, right? So what do you do when there's those hard weeks? What do you turn to? We need to be turning to Scripture. We need to be reading our Bible. I need to be reading my Bible. We need to be praying. And like, praying a lot. Not just like when we're having dinner, but like praying all the time. And we need to be worshiping. We need to be in community with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You want to fight well, do those things. Surrender. Keep surrendering. Like, that's the thing about a Christian. It's not like a one and done deal. Like, every day you keep surrendering. You keep armoring up. You keep fighting the good fight. That's what it is. Y'all, God loves us so much that he wouldn't leave us on our own. He gives us armor. Doesn't mean everything's going to be happy and woo all the time. But man, we can be confident that no matter what happens, sin doesn't get the final word. And I get emotional just thinking about that. Like, sin doesn't get the final word. One day, we're not going to struggle anymore. That's going to be a thing of the past. One day, cancer's not going to exist. COVID's not going to exist. Wars won't exist anymore. One day we'll be with our Savior, and sin will just be, it's in the past, it's gone. And I don't know about you, but that sounds really good. I want to be on that side. I want to be on that team. When I can wake up one day and know that my dad's not going to struggle anymore with Crohn's. It's not going to hurt him anymore. That I'm not going to be anxious anymore. God has wiped away every tear. That's the God we serve. Not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesday, every day of the week. That's who God is. He's not Emmanuel, God with us, just at Christmas. He's Emmanuel, God with us every stinking day of the week. Put your faith and trust in Jesus today. Keep trusting, believer, keep trusting. I know it's hard. This world's crazy. Keep trusting in Jesus. Let's pray. God, you are so, so good. Lord, there's so much pain and hurt and chaos and confusion, and yet you are not confused. You are not shaken. God, you are not surprised. You are always in control. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room. that they would truly know you, God, that you would be the boss of their lives, that you would just overwhelm them right here, right now with your Holy Spirit. Whether it's been a great week or whether it's been a bad week, God, I pray that right here, right now, they would know that you, King Jesus, rule and reign, that you have won the war, and you didn't just leave us on our own, but God, that you gave us your Holy Spirit. You give us your word so we can armor up and we can go fight the fight. Lord, help us to fight the fight. Help us to fight the good fight. When the enemy comes and lies and twists your word, may we know your truth. When he comes and tells us that we're not good enough, that we can't make it, like, you're right, we're not, but Jesus is. Lord, if there's someone here today who hasn't truly, truly put their faith and trust in you, who hasn't truly surrendered to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I pray that right here, right now, you would be stirring in their hearts, that they would begin to ask questions and that they would truly just surrender. Lord, I'm so thankful for the people that you have brought here today. Thank you for getting them here safely. Lord, help us as we leave this place today to fight the good fight, to know that you are King, you are in control, you are God, and you've won. Lord, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor John. Thank you so much for listening to the Everyday Church Podcast. For more information on us, or if you happen to make a spiritual decision during this message, please let us know and go to our website, www.everyday.church. There's an email link that you can click on, and we would love to hear from you. If there's anything going on that has happened during this message, if the Lord has spoken to you, or you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Also, if there's a prayer request or concern, then you can email us, and we would love to take the time to pray for you and respond in any way that we can. Again, thank you so much for listening. God bless.